And welcome once again, and a special welcome to our guests in the front row, Adam and Emily. It's amazing to see you. You look well, and I trust the Lord's been taking good care of you. Amen. Well, this morning, I would like to take us back to where we left off with last week's message. If you recall, I was teaching from Psalm 91, verse 1. We never got past verse 1. It's such a good psalm. And verse 1 blesses me. But in verse 1 of Psalm 91, if you want to move there in your Bibles, we talked about a place in God. And I want to choose my words carefully because it's very difficult to describe this place unless you have actually been there. It's very difficult. It's not like a physical place. And the only words the Holy Spirit brought to my mind to describe or to bring understanding to those of us who are listening here today of this place is this: it's heavenly. This place is heavenly. Anything that you could think or imagine would be heavenly, this place is. What is heavenly to you? You know, sometimes God's people need to use their imagination. What is a heavenly place to you? Is it out on a golf course somewhere? Is it laying in the sun on a beach? Where's your heavenly place? This place that I'm referring to in God is heavenly. This place is all those things you can think of that give you a sense of yes on the inside, a sense of, I don't even know what the sense is, joy. This place that I'm referring to is that and so much more. So much more. Ephesians 2:6 says, God has raised us up together. He's made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. The place we were talking about last week is unlike any place on the face of the earth. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It is a place where all the things of this world fade away. We've got a song that has those words in it. And sometimes when you get a revelation of this, you go back and you sing these songs and they just have a whole new meaning. This is a place in God where the world around you fades away. Sometimes we need a place like that. It is a place of safety. It is a place of refuge. It is a place of peace, a place of joy, and most especially, a place of overwhelming love and acceptance, where we all need to be. Overwhelming love and acceptance. It is a place of no lack. It is a place where every need in your life and even desires has been supplied. And in the Amplified Bible, I like the way it words Psalm 91 verse 1, it says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and secure, fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no enemy can withstand. I'm going to read that again. Whose power no enemy can withstand. When you are in this place that I'm referring to, when you are under the protection, the provision of God, no enemy can touch you. Last week I said it is a place where you are untouchable. Think about that. It is a place where you become untouchable. Why? Because your Father is almighty, all powerful. If you are in this place, under the secret, under the shadow of his wing, who can touch you? Who can come against you in this place? Who can stand against God? Is there anyone, anything that can come against God? And the Bible says we are in Christ Jesus. Who can stand against us? We are seated together in heavenly places at the right hand of God. Now, if we alone got that revelation, that God is almighty, He is all powerful, why do we fear? If we know God is for us, and He's on our side, and He's got us, the Bible says no man can pluck you out of the Father's hand. No one. He's got you in His hand. Why do we fear? Why do we fret? He's got us. So if God be for you, who can be against you? This is the place Jesus made reference to in two of the Gospels. In Luke chapter 13:34 and Matthew 23:37, when He looked out at the Jewish people, and He said this, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem." Now, Jesus was not necessarily referring to the city itself. He was referring to God's chosen people, the Israelites. He says, "You kill the prophets, you stone them that are sent to you. How often I would have gathered your children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wing, and you would not." God has this place of refuge for us, of safety, a place where it's heavenly for every child of God. And He wants so badly for you to come under the shadow of His wing, where He can protect you, where He can keep you safe, where He can lavish His love upon you with all kinds of good things. And we will not, many times. Just like before Jesus went to the cross, they would not, and many times today we would not. God always wants to provide for His children completely. It says here they would not. And even today, God's desire for every one of us is to be safe from all evil. Remember the Lord's Prayer? Deliver us from evil. If that wasn't God's will, why would that be in that prayer? Jesus said in His last prayer in John chapter 17, I'm not sure which verse it's in, but He's asking His Father not to take us out of the world, but to protect us from the evil in the world. How many of us know there's a lot of evil in the world? Lots of it. And it comes in all shapes, forms, and sizes. So it's God's will that we completely be safe. And I know that's hard for a lot of people to believe, even in the church, because we have this funny idea that as long as we're in the earth and in this earth suit, we're going to have to go through all kinds of evil. But you know, that's contradicting the Word of God. Now, I'm not saying that if you're going through evil and evil times, you're evil. We just don't know about this place yet. And we lack an understanding that God really has provided a place for us to be completely safe from the world and from all the evils in this world. But we need to step into that. It's you and I. God's not going to drag you in like we drag our kids sometimes into safety. God would love to, but He's given you a free will, Emily. You have to choose to go into that place. So God desires for each one of us to be safe from all evil, all harm, and to have fullness of peace, joy, and really begin to enjoy life. Not always struggling. Did you notice life is a struggle? We're always struggling. You know, you go from one crisis to another. And you think, well, if I just get through this one, I'm going to be okay. But you know what? On the other side, there's another one. And it seems like we take our whole lives are spent doing that. And we always are looking forward to the future to enjoy life. God says, no, life is short. You need to enjoy life now, not when this problem is taken care of or that problem is taken care of. But you know, many of us, we have hardened our hearts, just like in the day of provocation when God wanted to bring his people into the promised land. Why could they not enter in? Because of unbelief. Same reason today. Today is a new day, the Bible says. And when you hear his voice, harden not your hearts, but believe. This is not an imaginary place that I have imagined in my mind. It's written in the Bible. It is not a place of the world. No, it's not a physical place. It's not a natural place that you can book in for a weekend. But it's very real, nevertheless. It's a spiritual place because God is not a physical God. He's a spirit. And when I say that the spirit world is far more powerful and far more real than the natural, we look at it totally opposite. We look at this world as being, well, get real, you know, face reality as we look at the world. And we think the natural world is the real. I got news for you. This world is passing away. But the things of the spirit never pass away. They are eternal. His word is eternally settled forever in the heavens. And you and I, in order to stay in this place, in order to even understand that this place exists and that it is a real place, we need to have that understanding. This is a spiritual place that we can enter. Psalm 144 says, verse 4 says, man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passes away. Ecclesiastes 6:12 says, who knows what is good for man in life? All the days of his vain life, which he spends as a shadow. This life on this earth is just a shadow, Emily. It's just a shadow. And you know how shadows kind of come and go as the sun moves? It's passing away. This earth life is just a shadow of the real life, of the spirit. And yet, from man's perspective, the spirit world seems to be only, at best, a shadow. You need to see the spirit as the real. But you are no longer in the flesh, but in the spirit, Romans 8:9 says. In other words, this world is not your home any longer. If you are a child of God, you belong to a heavenly kingdom. Just like when Jesus came to the earth, he says, I'm from above. You're from the earth, from beneath here. I am from above. That's how you need to see yourself. I'm not from here anymore. I'm from above. This world is not my home any longer. And you know, that's okay, because we have a much, much better place to dwell in. But the thing is, you and I must choose to dwell there. You and I must choose to dwell there. So how can we dwell in a place that we cannot see, we cannot feel, we cannot touch? Where do I go to find this place? Where is this place? Sounds like an amazing place to be. But it's by our faith that we dwell in this place. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, the Word of God describes to us this place. That's how I know it exists. There is a secret place under the shadow of the Almighty. It describes it for us. It is a place, it says, of refuge, of strength, of joy, of peace, of all the things that you would want in your life. So the Word of God describes it for us. Example, God's word says this, that you now, Emily, are a new creation in Christ. That you now are the righteousness of God in Christ. The word of God says that you have been set free from the curse of the law, every curse, and from all sin. Now, these are truths from the word of God. And by faith, we believe these truths. And you make them your own. And then we see with our spiritual eyes. You see, you can see this place with the eyes of your heart. And it's built on the truths of God's word. To come into this place and know that you are loved because the Bible says you are loved. To come into this place and know that you are completely healed because the Bible says, God's word says that you are. And you need to use your imagination and you need to see yourself in Christ far above all principality, power, might, and dominion in every name that can be named in this life and in the next. You put yourself into that place by faith. So we must make this place your dwelling place through your faith. It is the blood-bought right of every child of God to live here. To live in this place of safety, of refuge, peace, joy, health, provision, prosperity. You did not buy it or earn it with your hard work or your own goodness. It was bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, and it was given to you as a gift, this dwelling place. And you must enter in by faith. You must see yourself in your heart as victorious in whatever area it is you need to see victory. You must see it. You must see yourself safe from any calamity, any curse. You must see yourself prosperous, filled with joy, for this is your heritage. This place isn't out there somewhere that we're trying to enter in. This place is on the inside of you. It's in you. The Spirit of God is in you, and the kingdom of God is on the inside of you. And so any one of us can enter into this place anytime. If only our minds could be opened up to see these truths, to dwell in this place. The kingdom of God is in you. And then verse 2 of Psalm 91 says, you begin to speak from this position. In this place, you have all the things that you could ever want. They're in this place. Then you speak. Then you speak. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. It doesn't say he's going to be. He is right now my refuge. As soon as you're in trouble, you say that. I will say of the Lord, he is my protection. He is my strong tower. He's my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. Now, if you and I do not speak the kingdom life or the kingdom words, I'm going to tell you something. This kingdom, this place where you sit and dwell in, will not manifest in your life. It will not manifest. I know it's a spiritual place. I know it's not a physical place. But spirit is higher and greater. In fact, the spirit world created the natural world. And so by the spirit, because there's no life in the natural, it's the spirit that has life. And so when we begin to speak, you're beginning to bring what's in the spirit that is already the truth into the natural. Your body might be sick and all crippled, but yet when you sit in this place, you know you're healed. You have that understanding and that revelation. Now, how do I bring it from where I'm sitting to out here to where I can experience it? The mouth. You speak it. Now, example. God created the heavens and the earth. Now I want you to listen carefully. Now when the Bible says he created the heavens, it's not necessarily, they're not referring to where God is. They're referring to the stars, the constellations, the planets, the sun, the moon, the atmosphere around us. And he also created the earth. Now all of these things are physical things, right? How did he create them? Well, we know how God created, by his words, by speaking. God said, let there be light, and light was. Now, had God not spoken, we know nothing would have come to be in the natural, right? If God hadn't spoken, there would be nothing that we could see in the natural. So it's how God created all things. He did not have scientists working day and night to produce light. He did not hire a bunch of excavators for a week to push the earth around and form the mountains. We can laugh. Did he? And yet God, the Bible tells us, God worked for 6 days. What did he do? When we think of work, what do you think of? Exactly. Get the hoe and the shovel. But it says God worked for 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested from all of his work. Where am I going with this? God simply spoke things into being, and on the seventh day, the Bible tells us he rested from all his work. What was God's work? Speaking. Thank you, Adam. Let me tell you something. This is the works of faith. Without works, faith is dead. But the real point I want to make here is this. When God called forth light, for example, he said, "Light be," and light was. We know that God created all things by his word. We know that in the natural. But when God called forth the light, let me tell you this, light already existed in the spirit. God was only calling it forth into the natural. Anything you call forth already exists in the spirit. You are not making anything with your words. You are only a conduit for the power to flow through into the natural. God has says that I have created you for good works. God's works was speaking. He's created you for good speaking, Emily. He's created you so that you can speak now. And he can use your words to bring what is already in the spirit into the natural. You see, that's what we need to understand. You're not making anything happen that is impossible, that isn't already possible or has been created, excuse me, in the spirit world. Long before you were born, God provided for you everything you will ever need. It is up in heaven. It's called our treasures in heaven. Are you speaking them into your life? Or when you get to heaven someday, is he going to take you by a warehouse and say, "Okay, Lorelei, this is all the things I had prepared for you." And you're going to look in that room and you're going to just probably start to cry, because there were all the things that you could have used. All of the blessings, even the very hidden desires, were in that storehouse, just waiting. Every Holy Spirit blessing, their spiritual blessings, have been given to you in heavenly places. Bought for, paid for by the blood of Jesus. You're not earning them. They already are given. All you have to do is to enter in, to take your dwell, sit down in that place and begin to speak. What is this place? It's a place where everything has been provided. Everything has been supplied. You're not trying to get anything. It's already yours. And so God, when he spoke, he was only speaking what already existed in the spirit world. Light already was in existence in the spirit. He brought it into the natural, and he formed the world, created the world in which we live in from the spirit. You are doing the same thing. You are in a natural body, and you are bringing the spirit into the natural. It's not by might, the Bible says. It's not by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. It's the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that brings the spiritual into the natural. Just like when, in the very beginning, if you read carefully, it says, God looked out upon the face of the earth and it was dark, and it was, he looked out and it says the Spirit hovered over the darkness, waiting for God to speak. He hovers over you, waiting for you to speak. Waiting for you to speak, and he uses your words to bring into the natural what is already done in the spirit world. Now, when we continually focus on thoughts like what I'm sharing with us right now, faith doesn't seem like such a hard thing. In other words, all you have to do is go to the Bible and start looking for things that you need. Oh, it says it right there. That means it's already in heaven. That means it's already mine. And begin to speak it. I don't care if it's finances you need, if it's healing, if it's restoration, if it's understanding. We're very complex and the needs of us are great. Whatever it is you need, go to the Word, and you know that if God has already spoken it, then you can speak it in faith. And only you can make this dwelling place that we're talking about here today a reality in your own life by speaking it. And once you begin to speak with your mouth what you believe in your heart, first of all, the word has to go into your heart. You have to know the scriptures. You have to know what the Bible says. Verse 3, it says, surely then he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. That's verse 3 of Psalm 91. So what does surely he deliver you from? Many of us look at that scripture and we try to figure out, well, what's this, the snare of the fowler, the noisome pestilence? Like, how does that bless you, Emily? You're delivered from the snare of the fowler. Like, what are we delivered from? Surely. When we sit in the place, when we dwell in this most high place, and we speak, it says, surely, the very next word is surely, you will be delivered from these things. So let's, first of all, what is the snare of the fowler? Well, the word fowler means someone who traps. It's a trapper. Okay? So it says here, surely he's going to deliver us from the snare, which is a trap, the trap of the trapper. Now, who's the trapper? Certainly isn't God. So there is it must be Satan. Satan is the trapper. He's the one that's trying to trap you, trip you up, right? So what does he use to entrap us? What is the trap he sets for us? He uses our words. He tries to get us to speak wrong words, words that he can use. What does Proverbs chapter 6 verse 2 says? You are snared with the words of your own mouth. There's the trap. Also in Proverbs 12 verse 13, it says the wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips. But the just will come out of trouble. Why the just? Because they speak right words. You have no idea how important the words coming out of you are really are. Surely, he delivers us from the snare of the fowler and, okay, what's the noisome pestilence? Noisome pestilence. Well, if you look up both of these words, one word means speaking, dabar. And the other one means calamitous or perverse. Noisome pestilence. Surely he will deliver you from perverse speaking, calamitous words. Before the Holy Spirit can deliver you in the natural, because it says, surely he will deliver you. How does he deliver you? He delivers your tongue. We think of the Holy Spirit coming along and delivering us in the natural. But do you know how he does it? He delivers your tongue. Because it's you who have the power of life and death from your tongue. And the first thing he will do when you begin to speak from that place, the truth, he delivers your tongue. Now you're speaking right words, not perverse words. You're speaking the truth. God is amazing. We're looking for big deliverances, like a big boom from heaven. No. It's not God's ways. He's given you the big boom on the inside. You've got the power. And you release that power through your words. You release it through your words. But if your words are all wrong and all negative and speaking opposite of what God has already spoken, guess what? Number one, you're not dwelling in that place. Number two, you're speaking perverse words. The Holy Spirit needs to deliver you. Sometimes we pray for people to, you know, Lord, help them. You know, they might be struggling. Do you know that a lot of times the Holy Spirit has to deliver their tongue before there can be any real help given? So before the Holy Spirit can deliver you in the natural, whether it's from sickness and disease, he has to deliver your mouth. He changes your heart as you dwell in this place. As you spend time pondering these truths of the Word of God, the Spirit will all of a sudden begin to shine light and give you revelation of who you already are. You see, it's already all in there, but you need to see it with your own eyes. You need to see it with your spiritual eyes. And the Holy Spirit begins to search and shine the light in the areas where he knows we need help. We need to see ourselves differently. And then out of the abundance of what's in your heart, the mouth will speak good things. It's all the work of the Spirit. That's why the Bible says it's not by might. It's not by power. You cannot change the words of your mouth until you change the treasure that's in your heart. We can try all we want. You know, we can speak in the morning, confession after confession of good things. And I guarantee you, if it's not in your heart, by the time noon comes, you've already spoken 10 perverse things. 10 things are contrary to what you have just spoke in your heart in the morning. You have got to change the treasure of your heart by spending time in this place, allowing the Holy Spirit to shine the light on all the truths. And then the Holy Spirit will use your words, Emily, to keep you safe. Surely he is my refuge, my fortress, my high tower. He will use your words to bring into the natural the things that you are speaking. And you know something we talked a couple of weeks ago about, have the God kind of faith? For whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and not doubt in his heart, but believe that the thing he is saying shall come to pass, he will have whatever he saith. And then we talked about believing your own words. And you know, I've been thinking a lot about that. You know, like, how can we believe our own words? But you know, the truth of the matter is, we can believe our own words, and we can speak words in faith. You know why? And here's the key. Because God has already spoken them. God has already spoken them. What does that mean? That means they already exist. Whatever I'm speaking into the natural already exists. Why? Because God has spoken. So I can believe my words. You know why? Because I believe God's word. And I speak what he says. And I know his word will come to pass. His word is never going to pass away. He didn't change his mind. And next time you speak words and you doubt whether you believe what you say, you ask yourself, has God already spoken these words? Are these words already truth in the Bible and in heaven? Then you know you can believe your own words. So you can believe the words of your mouth. Because you believe God's word. Verse 4, Psalm 91, the truth is my shield and buckler. You see, the truth will shield you. It says in verse 5, then you will fear nothing. I will fear I will not be afraid in the dark, of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by noonday, or the sudden destruction. I'm not sure where I am. I didn't write it down. In other words, I will not be afraid in the dark or in the day. I will not fear what I cannot see. It says I will not be afraid at night, nor will I be afraid of what I can see during the day. You know, I was talking to the girls about this at Bible study the other night, and I said, you know, we fear what we cannot see. Can you see germs? No, you can't. And yet many people are so germ-phobia, it's like, oh, they, you know, if there's something going around, you can't see it, but you're afraid of it. So that's what it means, the pestilence that stalks at dark in the dark. It's there's things in there that you can't see. There's danger all around us that we can't see. But there will be no fear for you because you're safe. You're in Him and nothing can touch you. You're untouchable in this place. So you'll not fear what you cannot see, nor will you fear what you can see, because there's a lot of things we can see. 1,000 will fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Only with your eyes will you behold, will you look up and see and behold the reward of the wicked. Now, when it talks about the wicked, it's only talking about those who are not in that place, those who are not entered in and believing God for protection. They're at the mercy of this world. I don't know about you, but the world is a really dark place, and I don't want to be at the mercy of this world. Verse 9 tells us why all these things are possible. Because, Emily, you have made the Lord your refuge. You have made the Most High your habitation. You and I have to make the Lord our habitation, our dwelling place. And we must remain in it, because outside of this place, we can do nothing. And outside of this place, we become subject to everything that's around us in this world. You know, I was praying about some of these things and just, you know, asking the Lord, you know, like what happens from the time the Holy Spirit shines the light on a truth in your heart. You know, let's say it's healing, for example. I may have an area in my life where I need the Lord's touch. What happens from the time you see it and you begin to speak it? In other words, what happens from the time you hear the Lord say yes to the amen, it's done? What do you do in between that time? You know, like, how do I stay strong? Because many of us have been there. Many of us have seen what God, the Holy Spirit has shone the light in our hearts on different areas. And it's not that we didn't believe, but it's like, Lord, help me. What do I do from here to there? We're in this in-between area. I want to stay strong. I want to birth this. I want to see it come from the Spirit to the natural. And I asked the Lord, Lord, help me. How do we, you know, how do we stay strong during this time? In other words, once you've believed, how do you stay strong in your faith until you see the manifestation of it in the natural? Well, the Bible tells us not to be weary in well doing, for we will reap if we faint not. So where is it that we grow weary? Where is it that we grow weary? In the spirit of your mind. Because we're not doing anything physical, or at least we shouldn't. We're speaking, right? That's the work of faith. Do not grow weary in well-doing. In other words, don't stop speaking. Where do you grow weary? In your mind. You give up in your mind first. That's where every battle of faith takes place. The Bible says we're not fighting flesh and blood, and we're not fighting with devils. We're fighting against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. We're coming against that. But you know, when you don't see the manifestation of it as quickly as you think you should, Or maybe you don't see it in the way you thought you were going to see it. You know, the way you hoped it was going to happen. Then you know what happens? Doubt begins to set in. Doubt begins to set in. So if the battle to your victory is in your mind, the Lord said to me, then you need to fill your minds with life and not death. In order to stay strong in the Lord, he said to me, you need to be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts unto the Lord, giving thanks always for all things. And he said this to me, if your mind is not filled with the Spirit, your mind is going to be filled with cares. And that is the truth. Your mind isn't just it's not going to be blank. There is always something going on in your mind, even when you're not aware of it. So what are you thinking? Where do you put your thoughts? You have to train yourself to think whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are honest, of a good report. Think on these things. It's where you allow your mind to stray that causes you not to be strong in the Lord. It's your mind. But you can't think of two things at the same time. And if you continually think of some of the things that we've shared here this morning, keep your eyes set on the things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth. In other words, what are the things above? They are the things that you want. Keep your focus on that storehouse that we talked about and all the things that God has in there for you. Keep your focus on that, not on the fact that you don't have it or that it's taking forever to come. Don't you give up. It's there. If God spoke it, his word will never pass away. It is there for you, just waiting for you to take it from the Spirit and bring it into the natural. I don't care how long it takes. Abraham waited 25 years. When all hope was gone, in other words, there was no hope in his body or in his wife's body, Abraham was strong in faith. Why? Because he believed that God, if he said it, he's able to do it. And you and I need to be that way. We need to be continually filled with the Spirit. Now, there's different ways people can be filled with the Spirit. It's through the Word. It's through singing songs. It's through praying in tongues. The Word is the Spirit. When you're filled with the Word, you're filled with the Spirit. And the Spirit is the life. And then it says, out of your innermost being is going to flow life. Life. That's what you're wanting. You want new life in your body. You want life in your finances. You want life in every area of your life. But it's up to you, and it all begins when we dwell in the secret place. We make that place our own. You sit there until you know who you are in Christ, and the Holy Spirit will open up your eyes and your heart and begin to show you. And if you forget by the end of the day, you get back into that place, and you keep going into that place. And every time you come out of that place, you come out a little stronger. And you see the world a little bit differently. And you're a little less afraid of the things that are coming at you. And the longer you sit there, the stronger you are going to become. In the book of Peter, it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, casting all of your care on to him, for he cares for you. Resist the enemy. That's how you resist. Because while you're sitting in that place, you don't have a care. And the longer you sit there, you will begin to not only sit in that place, but you begin to take it with you during the day. And you will actually be resisting the devil and you won't even know it. Why? Because you have no cares in your mind. You only have your mind set on Christ and all the promises and the victory he's promised you. And you're enjoying You're enjoying life. You're not afraid. You're not worried it's not going to happen. You know, when you know something absolutely is going to happen, it helps us to be patient, right? It helps us to, okay, you know, in the meantime, I'm just excited and I'm anticipating it. I'm looking forward to it. You know, it's like somebody phoning you and telling you, Diane, you just won $1 million. And you know that you did put your name in that lottery. Well, from the time they called you until the money comes in the mail, you're not going to fret and worry. It's already yours. So in the meantime, you're just happy and you're enjoying life and you're already thinking ahead to what you're going to do with all your money. What a blessing it's going to be to the family and to different things, different people. And that's how we ought to live. Even though you may not have it right now in the flesh, anticipate it. Begin to imagine yourself. Begin to plan your life based on the reality of whatever you're believing in your life. We think, you know, it's amazing how we think. As soon as there's something that's lacking or broken or hurting, we plan based on that, don't we? Well, I can't do that because, you know, it bothers my hip. And yet I'm believing God that I'm healthy and well, but I'm not going to plan that because, you know, I'm going to stay away from all of that, anything that's going to bother me. I just use that as an example because my brother has a problem with his hip. Anyways, you know what I'm saying? We plan our life based on what we don't have. I can't do that because I'm getting old. Is it not true? And yet God is saying, stop it. You're going backwards. You plan your life according to what I say you have. And you begin to anticipate it. You may not see it today. But bless God, you begin to speak it. You begin to believe it's already yours. And you will have what you say. Amen? Amen. We're going to close today. Did we learn anything? Good.